And now, from the Green 960 studios in San Francisco, this is an organic conversation with Helga Hellberg and Mark Mulcahy.
And welcome to this week's edition of An Organic Conversation, a show about food, relationships, and life itself. We are your hosts, Helga Hellberg
and Mark Mulcahy.
Thank you for all the questions and comments that we've received. Barry from, what is it, Mark?
Akron,
Ohio writes, "A friend suggested your radio show a few months ago, and I had not followed his advice until last week. After a marathon of listening to 14 podcast episodes of An Organic Conversation in just a few days, I can truly say that my view of the world has changed. I will never look at my food the same way I did before, or will ever take a perfect avocado for granted. What you are providing every week is much more than a radio show. It's a blueprint for life. Thank you. With blessings, Barry from Akron, Ohio." Wow. That is one of the sweetest emails we've received in recent months,
And a great reminder. What I just listened to there is someone who obviously appreciates the show, but I have to admit, and Helga, I know we've had this conversation before, but I have to admit, you know, I don't take, even though it's what I teach, even though it's what I really believe in my heart, I can't say that I don't ever take for granted the perfect avocado. I can't say that I don't sometimes eat, you know, in a hurry or not being completely conscious of what we talk about. I think all of us, I think that blueprint for life is the intention that of being present with whatever you're doing. And that is not easy. We talk about it here on the radio and we aspire to do it. And so it's just a good reminder that all of us, you know, even us who get on the radio every week and say this is what we would like each of us to do, you know, can't always do that. And it's a good reminder. I really appreciate Barry bringing that back to us.
It's so, yeah, thank you for that email, because, yes, it reminds us to take a breath and stop, because you're right. It's so easy to let that slip away. Mm-hmm. Right? I had, you know, simple meals where I was fully present to, and they were amazing. And I had, you know, high-end dinners a few times in my life where, you know, some of them I don't remember. Mm-hmm. So life can pass us by. It's, again, the story about, do we love enough? Do we say our appreciations enough? Are we present enough to what is being offered, be it the perfect avocado or the person who holds the door open? There's this amazing Carnival commercial that ran last year. I don't think it's on TV anymore. And I actually don't even know what company it was for. It was an insurance company, but it basically showed over 2 minutes, or whatever the commercial was, 1 minute, one good act leading into the next good act. One of the most moving, actually, commercials I've seen in years, I must say. They really hit it and they felt it, and the music was beautiful. And gorgeous. Good reminder. Thank you again. A blueprint for life. This show and this email from Barry from Akron, Ohio. Where's Akron, Ohio?
Akron, Ohio it's not about an hour from Cleveland.
Cleveland.
I've actually been there. I've seen the Akron Arrows, the minor league baseball team.
Of course. Baseball. Is there any team you have not seen?
Yes, there are.
Oh, good. Okay. Please send us your suggestion to share@anorganicconversation.com about baseball teams that Mark might want to check out. Thank you again, Barry from Akron, Ohio. You're listening to An Organic Conversation here on Green 960. I'm Helga Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
Baseball expert Mark Mulcahy. And we are excited about our guests today.
Very. Yeah.
Two women who know all about cotton and textiles, organic fabric. So that's a huge and important topic for our health, the health of our planet, and the sweatshop worker have across the globe. The world of organic cotton. We're diving deep into the world of fiber today. More on that when we come back right after the break.
Thank you. better bring the check around. To the sad, sad truth, the dirty law down.
And we are back here to an organic conversation as part of the Green Morning, an entire morning dedicated to your health, holistic nutrition, eco-travel, and food advocacy. The Green Morning every Saturday from 9 to 12:30, only here on Green 960. For more information, visit thegreenmorning.com. And
so, Helga, I wanted to, you were talking about that commercial, I think it was Travelers Insurance or something like that, about where every, you know, each act of kindness, you know, leads to another. And
yes,
I was
and the song was The Better Days, right? Do you remember?
I don't remember what the song was, but I do remember the commercial. And it's interesting how a story can move you, even if it's just made up. But so I'm sitting here trying to get home from Philadelphia, and it's the night before. I've been on the road for several days.
Which team did you watch?
I had the Philadelphia Phillies. I got to go see them. Yeah, in their brand new stadium.
Unbelievable.
But what happened was, it was the night before. I've been on the road for many days and many nights. And I thought, I'm going to call up to United Airlines and try to get my flight, get home early, you know? And so I got on and had a frustrating experience with the customer service thing. I mean, so frustrating that I just said, can I speak to your supervisor? And then they wouldn't let me do, they didn't do that. So I just was, my whole attitude changed. And so I had to get up at 4:30 in the morning to catch my flight and stuff. And I got down there and I tried to catch the shuttle. He said, oh, the shuttle just left. And I said, but it's supposed to leave right now. So anyway, I walked back up to my room at 5 o'clock in the morning, made myself a cup of coffee, sat down. I said, so, okay, where are you going with this? What, you know, why are you holding on to this?
Could keep running against it.
Well,
right?
I could just keep going with it, just how messed up everything is and how everything's working against me. And I said, so I just sat down, I made myself a cup of coffee, you know, and I just said, so, you know what? Got a great flight coming up. You know, just put it in perspective. Got to the airport. It was jam-packed, summertime travel and stuff. And I just went completely the opposite direction. I said, so I'm in control of this. I'm in control of my emotions and how I feel about whatever happens. And I got there and it was really busy, and I, you know, made sure I let people in line, you know, and just kind of just went to the other place. And I got to the counter and they said, oh, you're upgraded to first class. And I mean, just all this whole thing just
really?
Went the opposite direction. And I just realized, and I've been realizing more and more with, you know, what Barry's talking about, that blueprint of life is, we get to choose how we react to whatever we're doing. And it doesn't mean that bad things don't happen or you don't have uncomfortable situations or anything like that, but we get to choose how we respond to it and then what we're going to do with it. And that was just another reminder to myself of, okay, this isn't going the way I want it to go, or I'm not getting the reaction I want. So let me just take a second and realize that, okay, I still get to choose. And so,
so true. Yes. Actually, I just had a conversation with a friend about that, that life is actually just our reaction to things that happen, right? Mm-hmm. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
when it's a red light, we sometimes don't recognize that we actually are reacting to it or not, but it's usually the bigger stuff that where we see our reaction if we are present enough. But it's just a gigantic bubble of reactions in a way. And we have our stories and we have our sleep that we got the night before or not.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
of course, so it constantly changes. But it is all just our reaction to what is happening. And yeah, of course, if our attitude changes, usually the world around us changes, but it's so hard sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's why just being conscious and taking a minute and around it sometimes can make the difference. And that's why I appreciate what Barry was saying is just
yes. Yeah. And food can do that because food is such a, you know, and pets too. We don't, you know, my
yeah, conversation
my
can do it, right?
My love for my dog, but it's the same thing. He's always happy. I've never, ever.
Well, if I had the whole king size bed too, I'd be happy.
No, but really, it's so funny that they're like a perfect peach. Just wants to be a perfect peach.
That's it.
And in this case, this dog it's like he never has a day of attitude. You know, like.
Yeah, it's like, okay.
There's a lot of joy around if we are aware of it. Today we are talking organic fiber, and thanks for that story, Mark. Beautiful. And specifically cotton, and why cotton is such an important topic for agriculture for our environment and even for social justice issues. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And our first guest calling in from Silver Spring, Maryland, is Sandra Marquardt, the president of On the Mark Public Relations, which provides media outreach, event coordination, and research services on behalf of the organic and sustainable sectors of the industry, onthemarkpr.com. Sandra, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be here today.
Yes, so great to have you. I know you must be busy. There are conferences and fiber shows coming up. But tell us first about why did you start On the Mark PR? Where's your passion for the organic industry coming from? What's your story?
Well, for a long time I worked on pesticide issues, going back to the 80s, if I'm dating myself. And for a long time I took a lot of calls about the problems of pesticides, and I learned all about the problems with registering pesticides and lack of data making up the portfolios of the majority of pesticides out there. And I was finding out about pesticides in our water and in our food and in the polar bears and in the breast milk of women. I mean, it was a very intense work, and I'm really glad I did. But after a long time, it was a lot for me. It was a lot of negative, and I really found that I wanted to work on positive topics. And what was coming along at that exact time was the growth in the organic cotton movement. And so I started working with the Organic Trade Association, where I ran its fiber council for 6 years, and we consisted of 170 companies all working towards expanding the use of organic cotton. And then I just decided that I really enjoyed doing PR for all things sustainable and organic. And so now I started On the Mark Public Relations, which focuses on the organic food and fiber companies, as well as socially responsible retirement investing.
Sandra Marquardt, Sandra Marquardt, the president of On the Mark Public Relations, an agency providing media outreach, event coordination, and research services on behalf of the organic and sustainable, specifically fiber industry. We are completely focused in the show on what's working on creating positive change. And yet, non-organic cotton production, as you mentioned, is such a big issue. Can you just shed a little bit of light on that? I know that cotton is, we call it heavy feeder crop. It takes a lot of inputs. It's one of the heavier, if not heaviest, sprayed crops one can grow. Can you put that in perspective a little bit? Can you talk about what it takes to grow non-organic cotton?
Yeah, it takes about 55 million pounds of pesticides each year in the United States alone to grow conventional cotton in, I believe, it's 12 states. And the problem with that is that a lot of the chemicals can cause a variety of problems, whether it's neurological damage, cancer, the contamination of the water supplies. And so that's why it's so exciting to see the amount of organic cotton growing worldwide. But I would say conventional cotton is also probably it's either the third or fourth most heavily sprayed crop in the United States. We'd know more exactly if USDA kept better pesticide use records, but they only track certain crops and only track those crops certain years. So, but roughly, corn is by far the largest user of pesticides. And then I believe it's soybeans, and then winter wheat or something. I can't remember. I'm sorry. I can't remember what the third one is, but then you have cotton right behind it.
Mm-hmm. And then the erosion issues, of course, soil erosion in non-organic cotton production. And then we have the issue that we find in our food, which is cottonseed oil, right? After the harvest.
Absolutely.
of the cotton seed is often pressed into an oil. It's an oil-containing seed, as most seeds are. In this case, it does contain all the pesticides and synthetic fertilizers that were applied on the land and onto the plant still in its seed and on the surface, then pressed into a food source. So
about 60% of the cotton seed is actually used for food, not fiber.
Wow.
I often think of cotton as just a fiber crop, just what I'm wearing today. But a lot of it is the cotton seed. It's what you're going to find in your chips, cookies, processed food in particular.
Yeah, so cotton in this case, feed, fiber, and food.
So Sandra, Mark Morkin.
It's not only just a matter of what we eat, it's also a matter of what we breathe and what we drink. If you're looking at cotton production, you have aerial crop dusters spraying the pesticides across these huge fields, and 99.9% of pesticides do not meet their target pest. So they're going somewhere. And the problem is that they're going into, they're literally going all around the world on the jet stream, on the, you know, as the winds blow, and ending up in, as I mentioned, the milk of polar bears. Excuse me.
And the water supply, as you mentioned earlier, of course.
And all pesticides end up in water. It's just it's incredible the amount of pesticide runoff into our water supplies, into the drinking water and surface water and groundwater. It's astonishing.
You're listening
it's
astonishing
to that the EPA allows a lot of these chemicals on the market, because even when they are about to register them, they know in advance that a lot of these chemicals will make their way into the water supply.
Yes, you're listening to An Organic Conversation here on Green 960. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And on the phone today, our guest is Sandra Marquardt, the president of On the Mark Public Relations, calling in from Silver Spring, Maryland.
Hey, Sandra, so you gave us a little bit of a background of, you know, how conventional cotton is grown and stuff. And, you know, cotton and fiber are part of everyday life. And so how much of a percentage does organic cotton or fiber make up in the market right now?
Well, cotton fiber in its kind of raw form only makes up less than 1% of the global organic cotton, of global cotton production. So it's a small but rapidly growing amount of cotton production. In the marketplace, I'm sorry, I don't have a number for you, but I do know that the market in the global marketplace for organic cotton products reached a whopping $4.3 billion in 2009, according to a report from the Organic Exchange that we released earlier this year. And that's been expressing an interesting growth. You know, since we started keeping track of the market, we've seen an average 40% a year growth in the type in organic cotton products, whether it's apparel or home products.
And we want to talk about products after the break. Before, one more question: is most of that cotton actually coming in from other countries, such as India, which is one of the countries that is a leader in cotton production, or is this domestic cotton most of it? Where do you see the organic growth happening?
Organic cotton is grown in 22 countries around the world, and it's led by India. It used to be neck and neck with India and Turkey, but now India has become by far the world's largest user and grower of organic cotton, and I believe the United States is sixth or so.
Great. Wow. Wonderful. Again, on the phone with us, Sandra Marquardt, the president of On the Mark Public Relations, which provides media outreach, event coordination, and research services on behalf of the organic and sustainable industry in regard to cotton. Sandra, please stay on the line. We'll come right back to you after this break.
Hush, little baby, don't you cry.
An Organic Conversation is brought to you by Spotica Skincare. Founded by Janet Leigh Katzen, Spotica is a holistic approach to skincare that is 100% pure and natural, free of synthetic chemicals, and includes organic and wild-crafted ingredients. For more information about Spotica skincare products and the Spotica Spa, visit spotica.com. That's S-P-H-A-T-I-K-A.com.
produce is ever-changing, seasons coming and going. At Earls Organic, we have been sourcing solely organic produce for over 20 years. Since 1988, Earls Organic Produce has been establishing strong relationships with growers and developing a deep understanding of the seasons, so you can offer the most delicious organic produce to your customers, staff, and clients year-round. For organic produce, visit Earls Organic Produce at earlsorganic.com. That's earlsorganic.com.
For the ultimate West Marin experience, visit Toby's Feed Barn in Point Reyes Station, home of the Point Reyes Farmers Market every Saturday. Toby's Feed Barn features organic produce, native plants, gifts, books, an organic coffee bar, an art gallery, concerts, even daily yoga classes. Toby's Feed Barn in downtown Point Reyes Station, open 7 days a week, family-owned and operated since 1942, a West Marin original. For more information, visit tobysfeedbarn.com.
Have you heard of Local Dirt? It's the new online site for finding, selling, and buying local food. LocalDirt.com features local farms, their stores, photos, and lists everything local farmers grow and produce. Find local products in your area, in your region, or anywhere in the U.S. Want to find a farmer's market or get together with your friends and start a buying club? Local Dirt does all that at no charge. Go local with Local Dirt. Find out more at LocalDirt.com.
LocalDirt.com is a project funded by the National Science Foundation in support of local agriculture and local communities.
Frye Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family-owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Frye never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Frye organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Frye Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines, without added sulfites. Available at grocery stores and online at fryewine.com. That's FREYWINE.com.
Marin Organic, an association of organic food producers in Marin County, California, is helping to create a healthy and sustainable food shed just north of the Golden Gate Bridge. A model for how to feed a region in a way that is economically viable, environmentally sound, socially just, and culturally appropriate. The opportunity to change the world is right on our plates. Be a part of the solution. For more information on Marin Organic and how to support its efforts, visit marinorganic.org.
And we are back here to an organic conversation as part of the Green Morning, an entire morning dedicated to your health, holistic nutrition, eco-travel, and food advocacy. The Green Morning every Saturday from 9 to 12:30. For more information, visit thegreenmorning.com. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
You're listening to an organic conversation, and we are talking about fiber today, organic cotton. With us on the phone, our guest today is Sandra Marquardt, calling in from Silver Springs, Maryland, the president of On The Mark Public Relations, an agency that is specialized in services on behalf of the organic and sustainable cotton and fiber industry. Sandra, you were talking before the break about the increase in supply of organic cotton, the rapid growth of the organic cotton industry, both here in the U.S. As well as India.
And so, exactly. So Sandra, along with that, is there enough supply to meet the current demand? And are there any companies making serious attempts to use organic cotton or fiber?
Yes, there is indeed enough cotton. In fact, at the end of last year, there was still a little supply left over. And but I believe that the companies have gobbled that up now. And that's why we ask companies to try to think forward and tell the farmers exactly how much they'll need so that people don't just produce on spec and potentially lose their shirts.
And there were years where the supply was completely bought up, right? I remember a few years ago, one company decided to increase their cotton, organic cotton content in their cotton clothing and literally bought every organic cotton supplier or any organic cotton supply off the world market. Has so far the supply been able to meet the demand? And
supply is meeting the demand. That's not a problem. And the problem has really been that we need to hear from the company. The farmers and the companies have to work closely together to just make sure that not too much organic cotton is grown for the demand, so that it would then have to be sold on the conventional market.
Right. And so what are some perfect examples of companies that have gone the organic cotton route in recent years? Some good examples of sustainability and that commitment to greener practices.
Well, I think we have a big surprise here for the listeners, because Walmart has actually was for a long time the number one user of organic cotton. As you can imagine, because they're so big, they as soon as they got involved with the organic cotton in, I believe it was 2005, 2006, they just shot to the top of the charts and became the number one user of organic cotton. And Nike has also, they started their program in the late 90s. They have a massive program going now. And another company that maybe people didn't know about is Williams-Sonoma. A lot of people know about Pottery Barn, but there's also other parts of Williams-Sonoma. And they are actually the fourth largest user of organic cotton in the world, followed by H&M, and a lot of people know about Anvil Knitwear, and Green Source Organic Clothing, which is also a major supplier of Walmart, Levi Strauss, Target, Adidas, and Nordstrom. Those are some of the major players.
We always talk on this show about big companies, the leadership that can be provided so often isn't, and yet so often is, and that's something you don't find in the news. And kind of the dichotomy of running a national or multinational company that you find in the media in certain ways, and yet when there's a commitment to green practices, the leverage those companies have is quite astonishing. We had Whole Foods on the show.
I think you hit the nail on the head. Absolutely. It has been so breathtaking sometimes for me to sit back and see what is happening around me. It's not like we had with the organic food market, where it was people were concerned about Alar and their apples, or is the consumers going to the stores and saying, I want organic carrots, or I want organic milk, and I'm not going to settle for anything else. It's the complete opposite in the organic fiber sector, where it's really been these companies, large and small, from Walmart down to Ma and Pa stores, that are driving this revolution.
So how has, in this case, Walmart been able to become the leading company user or top three user of organic cotton? What product are we talking about? What product line?
Well, they have a number of different products, and if you go to Walmart.com, you can see them. But one of the most exciting lines that I saw was a real advent last year, and it was actually developed by a company called Green Source Organic Clothing Company, which made organic jeans that were not only made with certified organic cotton, but then the processing was also done to the Global Organic Textile Standards, which I actually helped develop when I was working at the Organic Trade Association. So with these standards, it's called GOTS. And with GOTS, it means that the company is taking the next step and not just saying, okay, I've got organic fiber, I'm going to pour formaldehyde on it or any other toxic chemical. They're actually making an organic product from fiber to finished product.
Sandra.
And the exciting thing also about GOTS is that it also takes social situations into consideration. So you can't have child labor, for example, and companies are allowed to unionize, all sorts of things that haven't traditionally been part of a good supply chain. So we've seen a huge revolution. And just in the first 2 years after GOTS was announced, more than 2,000 mills around the world got certified to GOTS. And so now
wow.
It's become almost part of the status quo, and hopefully consumers will start being able to find on the product labels, on the apparel and the home textiles they purchase, they'll be able to start seeing that note that this product was certified by to the Global Organic Textile Standard.
You're listening to an organic conversation here on Green 960. I'm Helge Hellberg.
Mark Mulcahy.
And today we are talking about organic fiber and specifically cotton, and why cotton is such an important topic for agriculture, for environment, and as we just now heard, even for social justice issues. Calling in from Silver Springs, Maryland, Sandra Marquardt, the president of On the Mark Public Relations, Sandra, you just talked about the Global Organic Textile Standard. What exactly is defined by those standards? Can we dive into that a little bit more? You helped put these together, and in part, which is a really important piece of cotton production, in part they address the inputs, but also, and maybe more important, the child labor that we see so often still in today's cotton production and clothing and apparel production, very common in India and many other countries around the world. How is that addressed through the Global Organic Textile Standard?
Well, the Global Organic Textile Standard only addresses post-harvest production, so it doesn't address child labor during the in-field production. That, however, is also being addressed by all these large companies. There is a very active group of companies that are meeting with the State Department and putting specific pressure on certain countries to prohibit the use of child labor in cotton production, because it's so crucial that everybody has a chance to grow up and get an education.
But the Global Organic Textile Standard, as it addresses post-harvest handling, does address the making of apparel, right?
Absolutely.
In this
so
regard.
It prohibits child labor and allows union organizing.
And how is that enforced, for example? Who has accepted these standards? What would it take for a company to get that label?
Well, the standards are at global-standard.org, and what a company would have to do is review the standards and their own processes and then get certified by a third-party independent certification organization.
Uh-huh.
So there are, I believe, 13 certification organizations now that are able to certify all around the world. So whether the facility is in Africa or Asia or United States, Europe, these certification bodies can make sure that the product is organic or meeting the organic standards from field to finished product.
Hey, Sandra, we've got about one more question here before we move on to our next guest. And I was just wondering, where do you see the market going in the next 5 to 10 years?
I see the market going nowhere but up. I believe that as consumers continue to integrate all things green into their lifestyle, whether it's food or fiber, they're going to continue to be purchasing more and more of these organic fiber products. And so I know that Organic Exchange is estimating that organic cotton, the organic cotton market will increase another 20 to 40% each of the next several years.
Wow. Beautiful.
What's exciting about that is that even during the recession, we didn't see much of a blip. Consumers kept purchasing these green products.
That's fantastic. And now even box stores like Walmart, through the Green Source Organic Clothing Company, offering certified organic jeans, which are also certified to the Global Organic Textile Standard, GOTS, which you helped draft actually, which addresses post-harvest processing in regard to inputs and child labor. Thank you so much for joining us today. Again, Sandra Marquardt, the president of On the Mark Public Relations, providing media outreach, event coordination, and research services on behalf of the organic and sustainable fiber industry, calling in from Silver Springs, Maryland. Thank you so much, Sandra, for joining us today.
Much.
Pleasure.
I'm really excited that you were interested.
Thank you. Good work.
Thanks,
keep
Sandra.
It up.
Bye-bye.
Wonderful. And now, joining us from Denver, Colorado, is Larea Pepper, the Senior Director of Organic Exchange, an organization committed to expanding organic fiber agriculture as a viable means of economic development and social and environmental improvement for farming communities living in extreme poverty. Organicexchange.org. Larea, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
You have spent a lot of your lifetime, almost all of it, in organic cotton production in one way or another. How did you get involved in this kind of work?
Well, I was actually born into it. So I grew up on a West Texas cotton farm where my grandparents and my parents used very conservative principles. that were in link with stewardship of the land. So it's certainly a part of my heritage, and with God's good grace, it will be part of my legacy as well.
Mm-hmm. And Mark?
Well, and so can you just give us, for those of our listeners who've never been to West Texas, or those of our listeners who've never, you know, really don't know what growing cotton is about, could you just kind of give us a little bit of background, I mean, a little bit of insight to your experience of growing up on that farm and how it affected your life?
Well, cotton is a crop that's grown around the world in 66 different countries, and it can be grown in a variety of different geographic climates, because cotton is one of the greatest things that we wear. And so cotton is grown a lot of places, and there's 3.6 million acres in West Texas, so it's very much a cotton country, and it's on high plains. Most of the cotton there is on dry land, so we're subject to, you know, it's subject to the rain and the rain that we have. And when I was a child, there was more diversity. There was different crops that were grown. And as the technological advances and, you know, trying to be more cost-effective and grow more cotton on the same amount of land, cotton prices haven't gone up significantly, you know, since the 20s and 30s. Cotton prices are a little higher right now, but historically, that's been one of the issues. So the farmers are under a lot of pressure to improve yields on the same amount of land in order to make it more cost effective. And so in doing that, there's certainly been increased dependence upon monocrop culture, upon more chemicals in order to have higher yields, growth regulators, a lot of synthetic petroleum-based fertilizers to improve soil fertility. And so since the 60s, and into the 70s, it's just become a very, very chemically intensive crop. And it's not just about what you're putting on the land, but many of these are carcinogenic. These insecticides and stuff are not healthy for the people or the planet in which we're living. And so there needs to be a change in agriculture to increase biodiversity and to reduce the kinds of toxic chemicals that are being put on this crop.
So, and that's the work of Organic Exchange. Tell us about the intention. Who founded Organic Exchange, and with what is your mission?
Well, the Organic Exchange was founded by a group of us like-minded who are already working to move things towards sustainable agriculture, in that we wanted to make improvements. We were working with organic cotton already. Among them are Patagonia and Nike and several other forward-thinking companies that were looking at how do we change our sourcing strategies and make an impact when they learn the truth about what's happening in those conventional cotton fields, not only in West Texas, but around the world, of how do we make a change. So a lot of us have been working collaboratively together prior to the formation of the exchange in 2001, 2002, and decided it was time to create a nonprofit to where we could have people that were clearly focused on gathering and collecting information, doing work to harmonize standards, and provide training materials to farmers and through the supply chain. So one of the things that's unique about the exchange is we have the mission to change agriculture, but we're doing it in a way that connects the whole value chain, the farmer all the way through the brand, who are educating the direct consumers about the benefits of changing agriculture and using organic cotton.
Larea Pepper, the Senior Director of Organic Exchange, and organization committed to expanding organic fiber agriculture. Larea, please stay on the phone. We'll take a quick break. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And we'll be right back.
If you were falling, then I would catch you. You need a light. I'd find a match.
An Organic Conversation is brought to you by Spotica Skincare. Founded by Janet League Katzen, Spotica is a holistic approach to skincare that is 100% pure and natural, free of synthetic chemicals, and includes organic and wild-crafted ingredients. For more information about Spotica skincare products and the Spotica Spa, visit spotica.com. That's S-P-H-A-T-I-K-A.com.
Hi, my name is Earl Herrick. I started Earl's Organic Produce over 20 years ago to bring the best certified organic produce to the San Francisco Bay Area. Still today, Earl's Organic Produce is sourcing only organic fruits and vegetables. Our core principle is healthy relationships with growers, the environment, and the clients we serve. If you are a business interested in offering the most delicious organic produce to your customers, please visit us at earlsorganic.com. That's earlsorganic.com.
Have you heard of Local Dirt? LocalDirt.com is the new online marketplace, your site to buy, sell, find, and feature local produce and products. Start a buying club, sign up for a local CSA or box program in your area, or purchase the freshest and healthiest local products your region has to offer directly from the farm, anywhere you live. LocalDirt.com, your place for local food.
LocalDirt.com is a project funded by the National Science Foundation in support of local agriculture and local communities.
Fry Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family-owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Fry never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Fry organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Fry Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines without added sulfites. Available at grocery stores and online at frywine.com. That's FREYWINE.com.
Are you looking for a romantic and unusual location in the Bay Area for your wedding or upcoming anniversary? Toby's Feed Barn offers the perfect venue for your celebration. A rustic barn in the heart of beautiful West Marin, with local organic caterers ready to delight your guests amid bales of hay. Toby's Feed Barn in downtown Point Reyes Station. Open 7 days a week. Family owned and operated since 1942. A West Marin original. For more information, visit tobysfeedbarn.com.
Hi, I'm Peter Walsh. My wife and I founded Manika Jewelry with the intention to offer a different kind of jewelry. Beautiful, made by local Bay Area artists, and without a social or environmental compromise. Our featured designers use reclaimed precious metals and Kimberly certified gemstones. It's jewelry made with heart and soul. Come visit our store just off Union Square at 11 Maiden Lane in San Francisco, or visit our website at manikajewelry.com.
And we are back here to an organic conversation as part of the Green Morning, an entire morning dedicated to your health, holistic nutrition, eco-travel, and food advocacy. The Green Morning every Saturday from 9 to 12:30 here on Green 960. For more information, visit thegreenmorning.com. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And today we are talking about organic fiber and specifically cotton and why cotton is such an important topic for agriculture, for the environment, and even for social justice issues. On the phone with us still from Denver, Colorado, is Larea Pepper, the Senior Director of Organic Exchange, an organization committed to expanding organic fiber agriculture as a viable means of economic development and social and environmental improvement, especially for farming communities living in extreme poverty. And Larea, again, thanks for being on the show today. You talked about the intention and the mission of Organic Exchange. Tell us a little bit about how you do that. How do you support farming communities and expand organic fiber agriculture? What are some of the programs that you offer through Organic Exchange?
Well, we do multifaceted programs, and at the heart of it is the acknowledgement that knowledge and education are going to be the keys to change. So when you talk about at the farm gate level, it's about training trainers and working with farming projects and farmers around the world. We currently work with about 300 projects in 22 different countries, providing training materials, education about the importance and how to address soil fertility in the different regions, insect control and management, and then through the supply chain of how to link and have market access to strong markets. So on the other end of the pendulum, and with the brands and retailers, then we educate them about the importance and what they can do to have a strategic plan around their sourcing materials, and that if cotton is one of their key materials, then here's choices and here's what you can do to have a strategic plan around sourcing organic cotton in more sustainable ways. And so we plan with them, help them link up to market partners and the farmers together through those supply chains. It can be, here's a supply chain that's working in Africa. You want to make a change there, or you know, you already have a strong, you know, supply chain into India that you could have real impacts in making it more sustainable, not only environmentally, but economically and socially as well. So when you have those conversations with a lot of the key brands and retailers, Nordstrom, Disney, there's just a lot of different companies coming on board saying, we need to have a strategy around how we're sourcing in order to do it in a responsible way, not only to the people, but to the planet involved.
Yeah, we heard the similar tenor from Sandra Marquardt, who we had on the show earlier, the president of On the Mark Public Relations, a PR agency specifically focused on fiber and organic cotton industry, who spoke just like you about Walmart and, for example, Nike. And Nike has been on our show before as a topic because their world headquarter up north in Seattle was the first to become Salmon Safe certified, and we had a show on Salmon Safe. So it's amazing that large corporations, which have the leverage of really creating immediate changes on the industry internationally, because they buy so much, in this case, cotton, that the leverage of a large corporation going organic entirely or even with just a few percent in their products has a direct impact on the market, of course.
Absolutely.
So what are you seeing in your work? Like, Mark, you had...
I was just wondering, what are some of the positive changes that you have seen in your work with the Organic Exchange? Do you have a couple of examples or stories you could tell our listeners?
Both on the land as well as on perhaps a corporate level, but you know, on the land, how does your work affect farmers directly?
Well, it's very rewarding work to see the changes that are happening in communities where there's been a lot of poverty. With cotton for a long time has not been, you know, there's not fair prices for cotton in a lot of the countries. West Africa has been really hard hit. Any time there's a country that's heavily dependent upon cotton, you know, the bottom line is that the cost of cotton doesn't cover, you know, the price you get for it doesn't cover the cost. So when you come in here and you start talking about it being organic and you work with a supply chain to give the fair prices back to the farmers, then all of a sudden there's huge changes that come into those communities when the farmers actually are able to have a fair return on the investment they're making. Then all of a sudden they have school teachers that they can have come to their village and educate their families. They can have water wells where they're not having to walk 2+ miles carrying water, in many cases in old pesticide containers, to have water for their clean, healthy water for their families. You know, one gentleman I was interviewing was talking about that, you know, now his children have a bicycle and they can have access to not only the local school there in the village, but now that they can go to this larger town nearby in order to continue their education. So farmers around the world are wanting what all of us want, to be able to provide for their families in a healthy way, and for them to have the opportunities for access to health care and education and clean water and food for their families. And so organic puts rotation back into that system. It addresses a lot of food security issues for these villages that had gone to a monocrop culture and abandoned a lot of that. So you see healthier nutrition there. You see increased biodiversity. Again, they're not hauling water many times in the old pesticides, so they have clean water. They're drilling wells. So it's life-changing for many of these farmers that are in the very rural, impoverished areas.
You're listening to an organic conversation here on Green 960. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And with us on the phone, Larea Pepper, the Senior Director of Organic Exchange, as we are discussing organic fiber production. And Larea, on a company level, you know, there's... where is the renewed commitment to sustainability, or the brand new commitment to sustainability on that level? Where is that coming from, and what is your experience working with larger corporate clients?
Well, it's like, to me, I compare it to being a farmer. You plant a lot of seeds, and they end up germinating, and they take some time to grow, and sometimes they grow faster than others. But as a whole, companies are having to look at their sourcing strategies. And the pendulum is swinging for everyone of, like, we have to be more responsible with our resources And when one of the big things that you do is source cotton to make millions of t-shirts or pajamas or baby bubble suits, then you have to really say, okay, what are the impacts this material is having? And so there has been this awakening. And you know, 20 years ago when I first started talking about organic cotton, they were like, what? And now most people like, yeah, I get it, and I don't know how I'm going to fit it into my line or how I can put it into my supply chain. So there's this more curiosity, and it's like, okay, it's not about if we do this, it's how we do this, how we do it responsibly, how we have the transparency in our supply chains and really turn them into value chains. And it's about communicating to their stakeholders and consumers. And so it's not something you do on a whim, and the companies that do it that way are not successful. The ones that do it strategically, that say we're wanting to make a change in how we're sourcing our materials and create a strategy around it, are the ones who are having the true impacts and are doing it with a long-term vision. And it's so refreshing. We started out with probably 10 companies 10 years ago, or even fewer, that really were serious about it. And we're over 50 larger scale companies in Europe and the U.S. and Japan, and with probably well over 1,500 small and medium groups that are committed to changing their sourcing strategy and the commitment to change agriculture.
Do you see that it's more coming from the conviction and the awareness that it matters on the environment as a part of the company ethics, or is it most of the time solely based on the consumer is demanding it? Either way, I think is great.
It's a mix. Certainly, there are growing consumer awareness that's happening, and in some larger pockets, West Coast, East Coast, you know, around Chicago and different places, and certainly like Japan and Europe, there's some very, very aware consumers that are kind of piquing the interest and driving it. We certainly don't have the volumes right now like that the food, organic food does.
Sure.
But so it's twofold. There is the consumer interest and demand saying we want this, so we want the variety of products that are out there. But also it's a real awakening at the corporate level that we need to do the right thing and really look at how we're sourcing. So it's twofold in that regard.
And either way, the impacts are dramatic, right? If one company, again, on that level, I'm looking at your website, and Patagonia has been a leader in this for many, many, many years and always sourced recycled and organic cotton materials. And if one company like this decides, even on a small percentage, to include organic cotton in their production, it has an effect on millions of acres of cotton around the world, right, immediately.
That's correct.
And so, Larea, this is Mark Mulcahy. I was wondering, have we reached a point where organic cotton is actually at the place where it can play a bigger part of everyday clothing purchases?
I think so. We're still a small percentage of the whole conventional agriculture across around the world, but there's enough diversity and product availability, and it's not just available in these certain stores. That a lot of there's more availability, whether it's from Walmart or Target or some of the big box, as well as the specialty stores that have always been there and carried it. So it's more accessible, and there's a greater spectrum of product availability. And so I think, you know, and again, it's very rewarding for, you know, I've been at it for over 20 years to think that I do really feel like we're at that tipping point where you could call a mill and say, hey, I'm interested in doing this many units and have this many styles. And so, yeah, it's a lot different than even 5 years ago. And I think that in part has been one of the success stories for the Organic Exchange, because we have been able to bring together a diverse group of companies and people and the whole value chain to try to address this collectively. And together, you know, that collaboration is what really makes a difference and gets you to critical mass.
So Senator Marquardt, who was on the phone earlier, mentioned the global organic textile standard that she helped draft. Are you embracing that too, or do you have your own post-harvest handling standards, or are you mainly focused on production?
Well, we embrace the integrity of the product, and so when we look at strengthening industry integrity, there are standards around the world that are mandated by many governments about the actual production, to say it has to be grown in such a way in order to meet certain standards in the National Organic Program, of USDA is a clear leader there, as well as several European certifications. And so the production has, I would say, worldwide adoption on how to grow it. The standards at this point for post-harvest are voluntary. And so the Organic Exchange has two different standards, one to really handle the chain of custody and the transparency, and so that brands and retailers can have that visibility through the supply chain to say that the cotton in these products was handled in such a way to maintain its segregation and its integrity, et cetera. We do very much support the global organic standards. You're going to have basically two different kinds of brands up there, some that are going to want to go and say, make the garment claim that this T-shirt is actually, quote, unquote, organic. It was grown with organic cotton and processed to the global organic textile standards, for example. Other companies are making a fiber claim. They're saying that this is made with organic cotton, and they may be using like low-impact dyes that don't have the metal mordants. They've stopped using formaldehydes and some of the other finishes, but they may be a performance. They're doing a binder that may not be organically approved, but it's a performance fabric, and they need to have certain quality controls around that. Even, you know, regardless of what path you choose, Either way is making huge impacts at the farm gate level on people's lives and, you know, the families that are growing the organic cotton.
So look for that label, organicexchange.org. Thank you so much, Larea Pepper, the Senior Director of Organic Exchange, an organization committed to expanding organic fiber agriculture as a viable means of economic development and social and environmental improvement, especially for farming communities living in poverty. Thank you again, Larea, for joining us today. Great.
You're very welcome. Thank
keep,
you.
Keep up the fantastic work.
All right.
And thanks so much for our guest today, also from Silver Spring, Maryland, who called in, Sandra Marquardt, the president of On the Mark Public Relations, which provides media outreach, event coordination, and research services on behalf of the organic and sustainable fiber industry, onthemarkpr.com. Thank you both for being part of the show today.
An Organic Conversation is produced by our wonderful Heidi Hartley, production assistant, the outstanding Gina Rastani. Underwriting production is provided by The Ear, the one and only Mark Van Gelder. Thank you all. And also, always, thanks to the team here at Green 960, our very own Fab Four, Corey Cowart, Mark Mignone, Chris Gardiniere, and Ricky Falaire. And always, thank you to our listeners for being part of the show and, of course, for actually listening.
Of course. For our blogs, podcasts, and more information on this show and previous shows, please visit our website at anorganicconversation.com. And you can also find us on iTunes, where you can download An Organic Conversation to your iPhone or iPod, so you can listen to Mark and I wherever you may want to.
You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter and many other social media services. And always look for An Organic Conversation. And we love to hear from you. Please send us your comments and questions to share@anorganicconversation.com.
Coming up right here after the hour is Your Supernatural Life with Beth Greer, a fantastic show on how to live a healthier, less toxic life. So please stay tuned. All this is part of the Green Morning, an entire morning dedicated to your health, holistic nutrition, eco-travel, and food advocacy. Every Saturday from 9 to 12:30 here on Green 960, the Green Morning. For more information, visit thegreenmorning.com. We are your hosts, Helge Hellberg.
And Mark Mulcahy.
And we'll be back right here, same place, same time, next Saturday at 10 a.m. Have a great weekend, and thanks again for listening to An Organic Conversation here on Green 960.